Public Broadcasting.
Good morning and welcome to True Talk. This is your host, Samar Jarrah. Hope you had a wonderful 4th of July. Listen to this music by Dalal Abu Amna. It's an Arabic Sufi song.
Thank you.
back to True Talk. You were listening to this lovely Sufi song by Palestinian Dalal Abu Amna. She's quite well known, not for her music, but really for her neuroscience. She just got her PhD. Now, it's very difficult for you to understand the words, but let me just tell you what you were listening to. I discovered love when I fell in love with you, and I closed my heart to all except you. I rose to confide in you, to speak my soul. O you who see the secrets at our hearts, though we don't see you. So the Sufis, when they sing, it's really love songs, but it's about God, the relationship to God. So this love language is really directed to God. But this is not what we're going to be talking about today. Hope you all had a happy weekend, or the weekend is just starting, but had a happy 4th of July. I'm not sure how many of you watched the parade and the rain and the fact that there were a lot of flyovers and historical mistakes, but it doesn't matter. What we'll be talking about today is the consensus, the U.S. 2020 consensus. I really did not know that it was like required by the Constitution, and I was reading so much about it in the past few days because of the controversy about it, whether there would be a question about the citizenship or not. But throughout my experience, I think I went through two U.S. consensus since I came to the U.S. about 29 years ago. So this coming one would be my third. And there is always an issue when I write, like, where do I come from, or what's my race? And, you know, there is white, there is black, there is Hispanic, there is, I think, Native American, Samoa, some other things, and then there is other. So I'm like continuously thinking, what shall I categorize myself? Many people, like when I ask people, they say, they look at me and they say, you are white. Why don't you just say you are white? So it's interesting. So I was really looking at the internet trying to figure out, what shall I put? Am I white? Then I found this stand-up comedian. His name is Amir Zahir, and he was born, I think, in Philadelphia. I'm not sure exactly where. I think he will tell us now. So Amir Zahir is an American, does not look like a typical Arab or a typical Muslim or a typical Palestinian. But then he also faces this issue. What do we write if we are Arab-American? What do we write? Which one do we mark? And people tell us, you are white. But he's saying, we are not white. So listen to Amir Zahir. He's a stand-up comedian talking in Detroit about what should he mark on the 2020 census.
Good afternoon. How's everybody doing? Wonderful. I'm so happy to be back here today. I am I'm from Dearborn, Michigan. I don't know if anybody heard of Dearborn, Michigan. I'm an Arab American. Sorry, white people, don't be scared. But every 10 years in America, I want to talk about something. Every 10 years in America, we do a census. You know, we have to do it. It's in the Constitution. We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, blah, blah, blah. And when you do the census, they ask you stuff. They ask you, what's your name? What's your address? And then they get to these questions about race. And everybody has a box on the census form. But Arabs, we don't have a box. First question they ask you right away is, are you Hispanic, Spanish, or Latino? That's the first question they ask you. I don't know why. Maybe Trump wrote the form. I was filling out this form. I wanted to be counted. Now, this form, this part did not go for me, as you can see. I failed this question. I moved on. And they have these questions. What is your race? And they ask you, look at all these boxes here, white, black, all these boxes. Everyone has a box. Samoa, Guam, Fiji, all these boxes. But we, Arabs, we don't have a box. I wanted to check one of these boxes. I almost checked the black box. Because Arabs were very similar to black people. We get profiled. We get blamed for stuff that we don't do. We scare the hell out of white people. We have big families and Sunday dinner and lots of cousins. We do all that kind of stuff. Like, the way you know you're one of us is if your family's so big that you're older than your uncle. Like, if you ever took your uncle to Chuck E. Cheese, you're one of us. Look at all these other boxes. They have a box that says American Indian. You're not supposed to say American Indian. You're supposed to say Native American. You're not supposed to say American Indian. But they don't say Native American. They don't want to confuse too many people because I think Mike Pence thinks that he's a Native American. They wrote Asian Indian. Now, India's in Asia. You don't need to write Asian Indian. But they wrote American Indian, so they had to write Asian Indian. Look at all the Chinese, Filipino, Japanese, Korean, Vietnamese. Sounds like the best food court ever. I didn't check that box. All these boxes. There's nothing left. All that happens is if you don't have a box for you, you get down, and then there's something that says some other race. Some other. Kind of like we don't care. Just write it here. Now, a lot of people in our community did that, and if you're an Arab, if you don't have a box, you check some other race. Now, every Arab has gone through this. They're filling out a college application or a job application. Are there any Arab Americans here today? Yes? All right, don't be too excited. But if everyone has gone through it, and they're frustrated or annoyed, and they don't have their box, so they check other. Now, on the United States Census form, if you check some other race, and you put in an Arab country, do you know what happens to that form? Do you know what happens to that form? You know what they do with that form? They don't burn it. They don't give it to the FBI. They actually file it with white people. Did you know that? Yes. According to the federal government, we're white. White. Scary, right? For you, not for us. But we deserve our own box. Do you guys believe that Arab Americans deserve their own box on the census form? Yes. I want to start a rally right here today at the Masonic Temple of Detroit. We're not white. We're not. We're not. We are not white. We're not white because I know I grew up with white people and Arabs are different. We do business different. We bargain in a way that nobody's ever bargained before. I've seen my dad walk into a store when I was a kid. I went to go get a shirt. I said, Baba, I like this shirt. He said, how much is it? This is Arabic for how much. How much is it? I said, $20. And he starts feeling the fabric. Does anyone else have the immigrant dad who feels the fabric like he's a fabric expert? My dad goes, this is very good fabric. I'm like, you grew up in a refugee camp, okay? You don't know what fabric feels like. Said the same thing every Arab dad says. Do you know how much it cost them to make this shirt? $3, maybe $4. So let's give them $5. I was like, this is the gap. You can't do that here. We bargain different. We don't understand some things. I got asked to go MC a charity auction for a bunch of Arabs in New Jersey like 5 years ago. Auction. How do you explain the concept of an auction to Arabs? They don't understand this stuff. These people have been bargaining their whole lives. It was very confusing to them. They said, wait, we are fighting to make the price higher? Like this doesn't make sense to a bargainer. I got on stage and I was like, the bidding on this item starts out at $1,000. Some Arab said, $400. I said, no. I don't think you understand the way this works. And we have weird names. We got to try to fit in. My name is Amr. See, Amr. Some of you, some of Arabs I know, some of you are here. Some of you change your names for white people. You got to stop doing that. Some of you have met Arabs whose names are like Mike or Faye. That's not their names. That's not their names. My name is Amr. And it gets confusing sometimes because it autocorrects to America. And that doesn't help, like when I'm sending like late night text messages, you know, like, hey baby, it's America. Ew. No. Screw Trump. I'm Muslim banning you. But we also get portrayed in ways that we don't want to get portrayed because we're misunderstood, because we don't have that box. We don't know. Let me tell you a little bit about me. See, I get asked weird questions all the time. People don't know what we are. I was in the airport a few years ago and the flight was delayed, not because of me, but the flight was delayed. And I went into the airport bar and I was talking to this guy, and a nice white guy. I said, what's your name? I said, Amr. He said, wow, that is an interesting name. Where are you from? I said, I'm from Michigan. He said, no, where are you from? This is what white people say when they want to find out where are you really from. And I said, I'm from Palestine. That's where I'm from. I'm Palestinian like Jesus. Let me tell you a little bit about where I'm from. That's right. Jesus is where I am from. He's the most famous man in the history of the world. Yeah. We should probably use him more. We don't use him enough. People are scared of Palestinians sometimes. Like, for instance, they see this scarf and they think something's about to go down. Now, sometimes we wear this scarf because we're protesting. Sometimes we wear it because it's cold. And it's a really good scarf. All right? So if you see me walking down the street in July and I'm wearing this scarf, get out of the way. I got something to say. But if you see me walking down the street in January wearing this scarf, it's probably because it's cold and we live in Detroit. But if it's MLK Day, it's because it's cold and we're protesting, and get out of my way, and I got a lot of friends with me. See, I don't know. I live here in America. And see, where I'm from in America is a beautiful place, but it's not as old as where I'm from. See, Palestine, you might have heard about Palestine, I don't know, either on the news or in the Bible. See, we span a long range. It's different. We're in this beautiful theater today. It's very old.
It's very old.
And somebody will stand outside this theater here in America, because America is a young country, and say, this theater is 100 years old. And then you go to Palestine and you're in Jerusalem and you're eating a falafel sandwich, and you say to the owner of the restaurant, tell me about this restaurant. And he says, well, Jesus ate here. And you're like, that's old. That's where I'm from, see? And we get portrayed in ways that we don't want to get portrayed. See, what's the biggest high school in Detroit? Called Cass Tech, right? Cass Tech. The Cass Tech, what's your mascot? It's called the Technicians. That's a nice name. It's a nice name. Imagine if you were called the Cass Tech Mexicans. And this was your mascot. You could imagine some Mexicans would be very upset. In Dearborn, we have a high school called Etzel Ford High School. Their mascot is the Thunderbird. I don't know what a Thunderbird is, but it's fine, whatever. Imagine if they were called the Etzel Ford Blacks, and this was their mascot. I could imagine some people getting very, very upset. This is the actual mascot of a high school in California. They are called the Coachella Valley High School Arabs. That's who they are. You see, that's who they are. We went and we said to them, hey guys, this is offensive. They said to us, well, we don't think it's offensive. Well, we said, well, we're real Arabs. And we think this is pretty offensive. You know what they said to us? They said, well, we feel like we are celebrating your culture. So not only is this how they see us, this is the most positive way in which they see us. Do you understand the problem that we have? This is what we're dealing with all the time. And so we're here today trying to say, we need our own box. We need to be recognized. We're not white. I wish we were. Seems like the best thing to be. But we're not. We're not. And so I want to make sure everyone knows we need to be counted. We need to be heard. We need to be somebody that is like somebody like everybody else, part of the community of communities in America. Because if you don't get us a box, then you get to do something like us, like make a mascot out of who we are. Or you might do something like they did to this kid. This kid's name is Diab. He was in high school in Florida. Whenever he would walk into his French class, his teacher would say, here comes the Taliban. Here comes the raghead. And they complained, and that's his dad next to him, and they complained. And you know, his dad complained to the principal, he didn't get what he wanted. And then he went to the superintendent, and if you know any Arab dads, they're never like satisfied. They always want to talk to the manager. And he went and talked to the superintendent. And they did a whole investigation and they found out that everything that young Diab was telling them was true. She was saying all this stuff. Now clap once if you think this teacher should have been fired. Clap once if you think she never should have been able to teach again. She was suspended for 5 days. 5 days, see, that's the world that we live in. So I say, I wish we were white, but I know we're not. I know we're not. And so now I think the census form should be fixed. You know, just I can make it very simple. Ask 4 questions. What's your name? What's your birthday? Where are you from? Where are you from? That's it. That's all we need to know. And for all you Arabs out there, when you are filling out this form and they ask you what's your name, don't change it anymore for anybody else. Be proud of who you are. Okay? If your name is Muhammad, be Muhammad. If your name is Jamila, be Jamila. If your name is Mustafa, be Mustafa. If your name is Jihad, be Jay. We don't need these problems, man. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
If you're just joining us, this is True Talk on WMNS 88.5 FM. You were listening to Amir Zahir, who is an American Arab Palestinian comedian, stand-up comedian. He was talking about the fact that we Arab Americans don't have a box to check in the 2020 census or in the 2010 census or any of the previous ones. And the mascot that he was really talking about, you can't see it, but he had a photo of it. And just imagine the most unattractive, if not ugly looking, extremely angry man with bulging eyes, with huge mustache, unkempt, never been to a barber shop, very thick lips, ugly teeth, angry, chubby, with a dagger and I think a sword, and covering his head with a kufiya, which is like what mainly people in the Gulf regions, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon wear, to protect themselves from the wind or the air. It's just a national type of head cover. And that's the mascot that he was talking about, and that's the representation. So it's interesting because I was, as I told you, I was reading so much about the census to see why the controversy, why it went to the Supreme Court, the idea that putting the question, what is your citizenship? I thought it was only an issue of immigration and an issue of maybe trying to be anti-immigrant and stuff like that. But I realized that there is a lot involved. For instance, the funds that states get, they get according to population. For instance, Texas could lose 2 seats in the Congress. Florida, Arizona, Colorado, North Carolina, Oregon, they can gain 1 seat. New York, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota, West Virginia, Rhode Island, they could be losing 1 seat. Each state might be losing 1 seat. So really, it's an important issue. I'm not sure where do you stand on this and where do you stand on the idea why Arabs have no box. Call 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. You can comment on the census, the fact that the citizenship question is considered controversial. Do you agree or not? And what do you think of the idea that Arab Americans don't have a box? And most people tell us to be white. And I'll tell you why some people think it's not a good idea. Because if you're wearing a hijab and you act as or you consider yourself out as a white person, would others consider you as a white person or as a Muslim or as an immigrant or what? I've been reading so much and asking so many people, and people have different points of view. Even as Arabs, they say, why shouldn't we just put white or why shouldn't we just put other? And I was kind of leaning towards that, and then I listened to this professor talking about it from a different perspective. He is Lebanese, a Christian Lebanese, Jeremiah Stinnett, and he teaches at Ohio State University. And he was thinking of being white. Like, he never understood that he was different or he had a race, or like he always felt he was an Arab American, until his professor told him to be white. And then he figured out, can I be white? And he did really a very interesting TED Talk and he called it Don't Erase Me. We're going to be playing it shortly, but let me give the phone numbers again. 813-239-9663. 813-239-9663. You can send your messages and comments to dj@wmns.org. dj@wmns.org. And the phone number here again is 813-239-9663. And I want to thank everyone who contributed to True Talk. We met our goal. Ahmed and I met our goal. And WMNS still needs a few bucks here and there. You can always go to WMNS.org, click on the tip jar, and give as much as you can afford to keep WMNS on the air. I have been doing this show for almost 16 years, and I am still learning. I am learning new things even when I do the show. I did not know that it was an issue for Arab Americans not to have a box to identify us in the census. And I didn't know really that it was part of the Constitution that we must have this census. And I didn't know that there were a lot of financial issues related to it, funding for the states, and most importantly, the seats that we can have in some states, as I mentioned. So let's go now to listen to Jeremiah Stinnett. He's a Lebanese American, and he's a professor at Ohio State University. And this is a very interesting talk called Don't Erase Me. This is True Talk on WMNS 88.5 FM.
When I was an undergraduate student at the University of Oklahoma, I took a course titled The History of Racism. And I remember this class very specifically because the first question we were asked was to think about the first time we interacted with our own race. This question was kind of tough for me because for me, as an Arab American person, I had often thought about my race as being white, but I also grew up being told, oh no, you're Lebanese. And that was difficult because I wasn't really sure what my race was or how I had interacted with it as a person. So I had to think to my family, okay? So here's some pictures of my family. A beautiful picture of me and my grandmother after I graduated college. Some of me and my brothers and my other siblings and my mom and dad. And it was important for me to think about family because for Arab people, family is an important part of our culture. So I started to think about that and how I interacted with it and what it meant to be Arab or what it meant to be growing up Arab. And I started to think about a specific moment. It was September 11th, 2001. Because I remember I was 7 years old and I got sent home from elementary school that day. Everyone did. And I remember getting home and not really understanding why I had to go home. You know, I was 7 years old. I was like, what's going on? I went to my mom and my mom and I talked about what was going on. And it was really interesting for me to process because my mom said, some really bad things have happened, and some of the people who did it look like us. And I really thought about that. And so, the next day, I went to school as a seven-year-old does, and I went back to elementary school, and I remember talking to some of my classmates and having this first moment where one of my classmates said, Jerry, are you a terrorist? And that was interesting for me because I'm seven, and I don't know what that means, really. So let's flash back forward. So I'm in this history of racism class and I said, okay, that's it. That's the moment I want to talk about. So I get up in front of my class and I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, growing up and September 11th was really important and I really thought about my identity and what it meant to be Arab and all of these things. And my professor, he looked at me and he said, Jerry, why not just be white? When he asked me that question, I don't think I had a good answer for him at first. I remember thinking, I guess he's right. It would be easier if I just pretended to be white. I don't have to tell people, I could just pass. And I walked out of class that day still thinking that because I didn't know what to think. And that led me towards a journey of really self-discovery. I was a senior in college and I really didn't understand my identity. I didn't understand what it meant to be Arab. So I really focused on that and I realized I had to understand myself before I could ever help other people. I went on to receive a bachelor's degree in human relations from the University of Oklahoma and later a master's degree in adult and higher education. And that was spectacular because it allowed me the opportunity and time to really think about what it meant to be Arab and what it meant to be who I was. So just to kind of give you an overview, I want to talk a little about what it means to be Arab. Some of you might be questioning or thinking about that now. So these are the 22 countries that Arab people might track their ancestry, their roots back to, Lebanon, Syria, Egypt, some of those countries, right? And so when we think about that, there's a bit of a discrepancy. Some people from these countries might not even say they're Arab American or really understand Arab identity as a whole, but instead might say, oh, I'm Lebanese. And like I had that experience as well. I was told often when I was young, oh, you're Lebanese. I didn't really know what it meant to be Arab as a whole or what Arab countries had as a culture. So as I grew up, I really wanted to think about that. I wanted to think about what our cultures were, what our identities were. And I wondered, why is it so hard to have those conversations here in the United States? What's causing us to talk about being Arab American? And I realized it's because there's a bit of an erasure happening with individuals of Arab American identity, not being told that they're Arab. Like I said, I was often told to mark white on the test that I was taking or being told that I was white. The United States Census Bureau estimates about 1.9 million people in the United States consider themselves Arab American. But the Arab American Institute questions that number, saying it's much closer to 3.6 million. That's almost double. That's the census erasing about half of the population of Arab people with just one number. That was really difficult to process when I started thinking about it. So it led me to think, okay, what is unique about Arab culture? What do we do? And I go back to that point of family. I go back to the point of history. I go back to the point of culture, because when Arab people became an immigration to the United States, they really had to bring that with them. They had to really think about it. But modern practice lumps Arab American identity into white identity. But I believe that unique culture is going to demand unique support. And what I mean by that is when we think about a higher education context like the Ohio State University or higher education around the nation, we have to really think about what it means to have identity development. Oftentimes universities are employing people to have these conversations, to have talks about what it means to be a person of color at a university or in higher education today. But are we talking about all of the identities present or that are salient in our communities? So studies have shown that a predominantly white institution like the Ohio State University, oftentimes students of color are not receiving an appropriate amount of resources to support their development at an educational institution like this. So they've identified kind of four categories when you look at the studies that say we must work to provide these resources or to help provide this for students of color. So these are mentorship, community, personal investment, and involvement. And I'll give you a kind of a brief overview here, because the expectation here is that most white students, white identified students who are attending a predominantly white institution are going to receive a majority of these categories innately. That's an expectation of their experience at a university. They might go into a classroom, have a conversation with a professor, realize that they have the same identities, and then build a mentorship relationship, right? They might have community because a majority of the people around them look like they do. They might have that personal investment that's been bred into them since they were very young, being told they have to graduate college. And then when it comes to involvement, you might think, well, what does that mean? Well, it's because most of the organizations that exist at a university are already, at a predominantly white institution, are already white. So for students of color, we have to work effectively. We have to work hard to bridge that gap. When you have a student of color at a university, we have to help provide mentorship opportunities and community and investment and involvement. But for Arab American students, since we're being lumped into white identity, from the get-go, we're told that it's an innate experience. But if we look at modern America, if we look at the way that xenophobia and prejudice impacts the Arab American communities following events like 9/11, are we really getting these experiences innately? And I'm sure that begs the question, what's the difference between race and ethnicity, or how do we notify, like how do we see that? One is that race often is something that can be identified when someone walks by. That's how we see race or how race has been theorized. While ethnicity is something you might draw back to your ancestry, your roots, your culture, right? So for most people, they might say, well, Arab American is just an ethnicity. This is just something that, they're just tracking their culture or their history. But we also have to think about, can an Arab American person go to the airport and not have prejudice put against them? Can they walk down our campus here at The Ohio State University and not be identified? Maybe they might be wearing religious garb. Is that going to yield prejudice? So do we need to start thinking about Arab American identity development in the same ways we think about race and critical race theory? So I think to an incident that occurred here at The Ohio State University. It happened back in 2016, and a young Muslim man jumped out of a car and enacted an act of terrorism, something that I think that all of us, we don't condone, and we want to say that Arab people don't condone those actions of extremism. But we have to look to that because as the research was done following that incident, a lot of the feelings came from being othered and feeling out of place at The Ohio State. Arab American students are white when it benefits whiteness, yet they are othered also when it benefits whiteness. And what I mean by that is that when I do something well, when another Arab American student does something well, it's going to be included in the totals and the subtotals of whiteness. But when we are terrorists, when extremism occurs, we are instantly othered and looked at as if we are separate from that group. So when I think back to the question that my professor asked me all those years ago, he looked at me and he said, "Why not just be white?" I think that I've started to develop an answer for him. So when I think about why I can't just be white when I enter a space, it's because if I did, I would be taking it upon myself to erase my culture, to erase my history, to erase my identity, to erase in myself, to erase the work that my great-grandparents and grandparents did to get me to this place right now. So if I had that conversation again, if I could talk to my professor, I would say, don't erase me. Thank you.
Welcome back to True Talk. This is your host, Tamar Jarrah, and you were listening to a professor of Ohio State University, Jeremiah Sennett. And he was talking about Don't Erase Me, the Modern Arab American Identity, which is something that really did not cross my mind, to be honest with you, in that depth vis-a-vis the census of 2020. I was following that from the sense that, you know, whether it's racist or democratic or undemocratic to put the question about citizenship, but really I did not think about the fact that Arab Americans are totally excluded from it. Some of you might say, well, you're not that many, probably 3 to 4 to 5 million people. Why should you be included? But at the same time, I think the idea is like comedian Amir Zahir, who the segment just before that, and this professor Jeremiah, who is Arab and Christian and American and Lebanese, he was saying that he was told by his professor, why can't you be just white? And same thing with Amir, why can't you just be white? But are we going to be treated as white if we, for instance, are darker in complexion? Or if, as a woman, she's an Arab but wearing the hijab? Or this should not be an issue? I don't know where you stand on it. Does that open the door for other ethnicities to be mentioned and to have their boxes? Should we have that in this melting pot? Are we really melting or not melting? I'm not sure. It's a new thing that just came to me as an Arab American. I'm not sure what you think. 813-239-9663. Let me give you the number here to call. 813-239-9663. You can send your comments to dj@wmnf.org. And I know Jackie has been waiting for a long time. She's from Clearwater, but sorry, Jackie, but I can't wait to hear what you think.
Oh, that's okay. No problem. I enjoyed listening to the segment. First of all, thank you for your show. We need more forums for True Talk. Now more than ever, the truth gets clouded, erased, ignored. So the fact that you have this show is very important. So thank you. On this subject, I've thought a lot about it. I'm a teacher, and I've been teaching in the city schools in Pittsburgh and here in Clearwater for the last 28 years. the subject of race and ethnicity often comes up. I think it's time for us to think of ourselves as one human race. Ethnicities are to be celebrated, right? Music, culture, tradition, clothing, styles of dress. All of this is to be celebrated.
Hello, Jackie? I'm not sure if we lost Jackie or what, but she's an educator and a teacher and very happy for True Talk. Jackie, I hope you can call 813-239-9663 because really what you were saying is very interesting, and I want you to finish your thought because I think, I have a feeling you are going to say that we should not maybe have that box, but it's okay because you were talking about celebrating ethnicity. So please, Jackie, call back at 813-239-9663 and tell our wonderful volunteers, Frank and Patty, that you are Jackie and you got disconnected. Because really, I'm curious to know the feedback of a teacher, especially that you do have students. I think Jackie is back. You do, Jackie, come across the students from all walks of life. They can be African-American, Native Americans, maybe Arabs, maybe Muslims. So really, Jackie, I thank you so, so much for loving True Talk and thinking that we should stay on the air. I think we should. But I'm curious to know, really, what were you saying? Can you continue?
Yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. I definitely wanted to call back and continue our discussion. I have taught children from all walks of life, from all backgrounds, ethnicities. I have taught children who are immigrants to this country. I have taught children who have come from refugee camps in Saudi Arabia after the first Gulf War. They were from Iraq. I have taught children from marginalized communities here in America whose voices are often not heard. So what I want to say about boxes on a census form is that we don't fit into boxes. Human beings cannot be described by a few words on a form with a box next to it. It's very important that we discuss these issues. I've dealt with this personally as an American woman who married a man from India. I have two children. My children also don't have a box. And they've asked me about it. And I've said, you're human. And when it says race, question mark, you can write human. Because we've got to get people away from black, white, Arab as describing us. Again, our ethnicities should be celebrated. Where do your grandparents come from? What food do you enjoy? What holidays do you celebrate? This is what makes humanity, the tapestry of humanity, beautiful and great and unites us. Oh, my family celebrates this holiday. This is what we eat. Oh, where do you go? Do you go to temple, synagogue, church? All of this are, all of these are things which we share.
I agree with you, Jackie, wholeheartedly, but the fact that, I mean, at the moment, what we have is a bunch of boxes, and I think there is Asian Indian or Indian Asian, even comedian Amir Zahir was wondering, India is in Asia, why do you say that? But I think to not confuse people between Native Americans or some people call them Red Indians or American Indians. But, Jackie, as an educator, you know that if, for instance, in the consensus it shows that there are a lot of people from Arab background or Indian background or this background, that it can reflect indirectly on policies and politics and how many people are there. I mean, I wish, classically speaking, that there were no boxes, but the fact that there are boxes, now Arabs want to have a box. So,
all right. How do we... Okay, what is the solution then?
I prefer not to have boxes, just like you.
The solution is Well, I don't fit into a box because personally, I can't stand to be called white. I always show my children at school, my students, a note card or a piece of paper, and I say, this is white. Now look at my skin. And I'm a science teacher, so melanin, which is the pigment in our skin, as you know, which gives us our skin color, is brown. So no one can be white. So the box white offends me. Mm-hmm. And it would offend me if I were of Arab descent, or I'm of Indian descent, or I'm Native American, or I'm Asian. The box marked white should offend us. And the reason it's so confusing is because we are confused as a nation. And any government that asks us to describe ourselves in a few words with a box next to it is confused about the lack of our melting pot. You mentioned earlier, are we a melting pot? Well, that's exactly what we should be. We're teeming with beautiful humanity from all over the world. So how do we solve it? Okay, so every time I discuss a problem, I like to discuss a solution. So if we don't like the census forms, then we need to start a petition and get thousands of signatures that say, give us a few blank lines to describe our ethnicity or where we come from or how we identify ourselves. Give Arab Americans a box if that's what Arab Americans want. I'm not going to check Asian American for my children because that really doesn't describe them. Their father is from India. If that's how you describe him, Asian, then that's all those people get lumped in with Japan, China, all the countries of Asia. That's not really accurate. And what I'm saying is none of it is accurate because people, humanity, and we will get there in the future. But right now, we're stuck with boxes. So what is the solution? So we need to petition the government to change the census forms. We're taxpayers. We have a right to have a say in how our government is run. If we don't like the boxes, and we don't like the forms...
Interrupt. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I am going to change my mind. You changed my mind here on the air. But what was surprising to me, and this is what's wonderful about doing the show, that I keep getting myself more educated, is that it's a constitutional right. So it is a constitutional right to have a petition, like you're saying, and change the census if we don't like it.
Absolutely. That's the major point I'd like to make today. If we don't like something, if we are confused by something, if we don't agree with something, our voices need to be heard. We need to start a petition to change the census form. That's where we can start.
Okay, Jackie, I want to thank you so much for talking to True Talk. I appreciate it. Would love to continue the rest of the hour, but we do have Tony, who is in Sarasota, and he has been waiting so patiently to talk to us. Maybe Tony has a different opinion. Good morning, Tony. You are on True Talk.
Hello, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it. How is everybody today?
Alhamdulillah. Very
good. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, I was just curious. I try to be objective initially, of course, and we all have our own opinions, but I've tried to look elsewhere, say like other governments, to see if there's any similar questions, for example. And I've seen Mexico, they don't ask so much. And I've tried to go to, you know, I mean, I've gone to their, like, their government website, right? And what the closest thing I could find to Mexico's questionnaire regarding the census is place of birth. They don't ask anything about, you know, census, I mean, I'm sorry, about citizenship or anything like that, but they say place of birth. And then I went to the north, and Canada, they have something about, like, refugee status, things mm-hmm. like that. But on either case, and I'm just... I was listening to you guys earlier, so it's kind of sparked a little bit of curiosity. But, of course, as always, as you guys always do. Excuse me. But, yeah, I haven't found anything, you know, the closest, like I said, was Canada, which is so much, you know.
What do you think of the idea of boxes? That, like Jackie said, it's not right. It's offensive to write white if you're white, because you're actually not scientifically white. But what do you think of, for instance, Arab Americans say, okay, I'm none of these boxes. Why am I not part of the census?
Sure. Sure. I think, unfortunately, you know, I used to play baseball. Not unfortunately, I used to play baseball, but, you know, I had a the umpires used to always say, no matter what you call, you're only going to please half the crowd, right? So, not to dodge your question, to answer your question, I think at the very least, maybe there should be an other. You know, I mean,
I think there is other.
But is there? Okay, I have no idea.
Okay. I want to thank you, Tony, so much. We're running out of time, and I know okay. we have Laura from Lutz, and I'm a little bit biased, Tony. Whenever I find a woman's name, I have to run and rush and take their calls because women don't tend to call very much these call-in shows. Laura from Lutz, please, you have
Hello.
Like 2 minutes.
I'm calling because I am a mixture of Italian, Moroccan, and a bunch of other things. And so I feel the same way about the white thing. I'm not white, and I don't like to fit white, and I'm stumped all the time. But we have the other, but, you know, you check other, and then what does that mean, really? It doesn't, or you check mixed race or whatever, you don't really get... You know, it's just it is confusing, and it is. I feel it being erased, basically the same thing because they want you to say you're white.
So do you agree
I'm
with
white.
That?
I don't
that
look
maybe
white.
We should have a petition and just get rid of it.
Right. I don't know. No, I don't think. I think they should get rid of white. But of course, there's a lot of people that want to be white, which is great for them. But I mean, most people think I'm Arab. Because I look like an Arab person, and I don't feel bad about that. But I just, you know, there's no place to say you're Arab, even if you are Arab.
Remind me, Laura. I think if I'm not mistaken, where it says Arab, where it says other, isn't there a blank like?
There's a line, and I guess you could write. But I mean, I've got like six different ethnicities mixed in my, you know, in me. So you know, I'm just. I'm a mongrel, I don't know, but, you know, I have some Asian, I have Arab, I have Italian, I have Greek, I have Polish, Russian, I have everything. So.
Maybe you should write global.
What?
Global, like global.
Global?
Yeah.
Oh, global, yes, global,
yeah.
That's a good idea. So I'm just a mixture of everything, and I think everybody... a lot of people, I think, dislike the fact that they want them to say they're white. Just like the professor just was talking about how his professor told him, why not just be white? It's because we're not white.
And you might not be treated as white, even if you want to call yourself white.
No, I've had plenty of experiences where people said to me, you're a foreigner. And I was like, well, you know, the only people that are actually... not foreigners, but there is nobody that's a foreigner. Even the Native Americans came from someplace else. So, you know, it's crazy. So,
okay. I want to thank you, Laura, so much.
You too. I love your show.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate it. And I appreciate all the men who call, but I also love it when women call. We do have a different perspective when we see the world.
Yeah.
Thanks, Laura.
My best friend is Iranian, so...
Thank
anyway,
you, Laura. I
love your show. Talk to you later. Thank you. Have
thank
a great
you.
Weekend.
Thank you so much. And I want to thank all our listeners, and I want to thank Patty and Frank for helping me and Ahmed always produce this show. And I want to remind our listeners that they can contribute to WMNF if they go to WMNF.org. I know that soon NPR News will come out. This is WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM. We might have a few seconds for music now. See you next week. Bye.